Good afternoon. The case on the docket for this afternoon is United States versus Forrester. Are the parties ready? We'll hear first from the appellant.
Chief Judge Erdman, members of the court, good afternoon. May it please the court, I'm Major Benjamin Robles, and I represent the appellant, Corporal Tanner J. Forrester, United States Marine Corps. Chief Judge Erdman, with the court's permission, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Granted.
The government unreasonably charged Corporal Forrester with 4 specifications of possessing child pornography for maintaining 4 identical copies of contraband he obtained once. To show why this is unreasonable, I will address the following 4 points in turn. First, the Plank different transaction rule is the appropriate rule based on Article 134's particular language and the injuries that offense redresses. Second, maintaining separate convictions exaggerates Corporal Forrester's criminality because merely copying already possessed contraband does not amount to a different transaction, nor does it newly implicate the injuries redressed by Article 134's possession offense, or separately impact the terminal elements of Article 134. Third, for the same reasons, more than tripling Corporal Forrester's punitive exposure is unreasonable. Fourth, the other Quiroz factors fail to overcome the weight of second, third, and fourth factors. Thus, the military judge and lower court should have recognized that leaving 4 convictions in place for the same set of images was unreasonable.
Counsel, since you're going to start with Plank, let me ask you a question. That's a Fifth Circuit case that addressed multiplicity. And multiplicity, an unreasonable multiplication of charges, are 2 entirely different concepts. So why is that a case that we should pay attention to at all?
For 2 reasons, Your Honor. First, Plank goes specifically to the second Quiroz factor, which is whether the offenses that are charged apply to separate criminal acts. And so the multiplicity analysis is inherent in that analysis. And second, the reasons that Plank comes to the conclusions that it does about whether the unit of prosecution is what it is, inform the discussion of the third and fourth Quiroz factors. And so the analysis applies both directly to the second factor and then indirectly to the third and fourth factor.
How does it inform them?
With respect to the second factor, Your Honor, Plank talks about whether the unit of prosecution or what the unit of prosecution is for child pornography possession. And so that answers the question that Quiroz 2 asks, which is whether each charge and specification aims at distinctly separate criminal acts. The unit of prosecution is what that refers to.
Well, but how, as the chief judge pointed out, what relevance has that got in a multiplicity analysis? We're over here in pure equity, you know, insofar as this concept has any reality at all, it's pure equity. It has nothing to do with multiplicity.
Judge Stuckey, this court in Quiroz endorsed the CCA, the lower court's analysis or establishment of the Quiroz factors, and the second factor is whether it aims at distinct criminal acts, which is essentially a multiplicity analysis.
Do we have to look beyond the Quiroz factors here to resolve this case?
No, Your Honor. I think the Quiroz factors, particularly 2, 3, and 4, weigh heavily in favor of finding unreasonable multiplication of charges.
And you're arguing Plank in the context of supporting the second factor?
Yes, Chief Judge Erdman. Okay.
I'm still not sure the purpose of multiplicity is so completely different than unreasonable multiplication of charges. I'm not sure that you can get across that bridge, but go ahead.
Is it your position that we should adopt Plank, or is it your position that we should adopt the reasoning underlying Plank?
The reasoning underlying Plank, Your Honor, the reasoning underlying Plank gets to the unit of prosecution, which is whether the offenses are targeted at distinct criminal acts. That's the Quiroz factor that was established by the lower court and endorsed by this court. And then similarly, the analysis of how they came to that conclusion, which is the three redresses or injuries that are redressed by child pornography possession statutes go to the third and fourth Quiroz factors.
Major Robles, with regard to the injury to the victims in these child pornography cases, that's one concern. But doesn't the military have, or can't it also have an additional concern? In other words, can't the military decide, or in the case of the president, decide that there's an additional reason for putting this in Article 134 as opposed to simply incorporating it from the Child Pornography Prevention Act? And that is because of the more adverse effect this kind of offense has on good order and discipline and the discrediting effect it has against the service and the service member. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm asking? I mean,
yes, can't,
I understand that what you cited as the the basis for harm to the victims in a child pornography possession case, and that further copying these images onto different devices does no further harm to the victims. Is that's kind of what you're arguing, isn't it?
Sure.
But I'm asking whether or not the military, in this case the president, can have a different or even an additional concern, which is the corrosive or adverse effect on military discipline that copying these things, albeit the same images, onto different devices might have.
Yes, Your Honor, I believe that's accurate.
The reason why I ask is because, like I said, before this offense was listed under Article 134, as I recall, we simply incorporated it from Title 18, which would have made your argument probably more persuasive. But now that the President has looked at Title 18 and said, hey, look, we want this offense in Article 134, and Article 134 is directed at maintenance of good order and discipline and maintaining the credit of the services.
Yes, Your Honor, I think that Article 134, the additional elements that are required to prove Article 134 actually strengthen Corporal Forrester's case. And the reason for that is that when you have one possession, when you have injured the victims the way that any possession does, that does prejudice good order and discipline and can be service discrediting, of a nature to be service discrediting. But
you're suggesting that the further copying of these images onto other devices does not further damage military discipline? Or?
Not in a legally cognizable way, Your Honor, because it's not like new injuries are occurring.
Well, isn't the commander concerned about, you know, the accused would have now the ability to view this stuff while he's going to work, view this stuff while he's at work, view it back in the barracks, view it at home, view it anywhere he wants it because he has it on all these various devices? Isn't that a concern that the commander might genuinely and legitimately have?
Your Honor, certainly possession, a concern with possession is the availability or the use of the material. I don't think the law is under any illusion of what these materials are downloaded for. But that doesn't change significantly because the identical images with no new victims are you know, on three copies, particularly when the three devices in this case require a computer to even access. They are not independently accessible. And so the harm is not magnified in any way. And so in the absence of new criminality, new victims, new redress to provide, the further prejudice to good order and discipline or service credit nature are really hard to discern.
Isn't one of the things he did was upload them to his Gmail account?
Yes, Your Honor, but it was an email that was sent to its own account and was only automatically downloaded to the laptop. That's also on the charge sheet. And so, again, this is not newly accessible or independently accessible item. When it's in the email, it has to be accessed through the computer. So in terms of the policies that Plank identifies, the injury to the victims of the child pornography, the invasion of their privacy, the perpetuation of their initial abuse, and then also creating the incentives.
Do you have a position, counsel, as to how they could charge the individual images. So I understand there's four different devices here, and let's just pick a number. They each have 32 images, and they're the exact same images. What's your position as to how many charges could be made based on the images on a single device?
Judge Ryan, when the president created the current form of Article 134, possession of child pornography, the language that he chose was that possessing child pornography is prohibited, and that child pornography is then defined as material containing these images. And so the level.
That would mean by device.
At the.
Would mean a device, like a disk or a computer or.
I think that's at least clear, Your Honor, that it's not per image, and then certainly a device would be part of the analysis of how to justify a new charge.
Doesn't that rather cut against your argument here today? Do you understand my point, which is I don't think you can have it both ways. I mean, perhaps you can, but.
Your Honor, our position is that anytime new child pornography is obtained, even if it's on another device, the fact that the government can prove that that child pornography, that contraband, was obtained in a new transaction would justify the material if it's on a different device.
How are you defining new transaction, though?
Obtaining new material, Judge Ryan, because and that goes to.
You just said that the material isn't how you count. I'm saying it's the device that you count by.
New material that's on a separate device would justify a new charge. I believe that's I try to frame it that way. And so that's consistent with Plank's analysis, because what it does is it appreciates the president's language and then looks at the reasons why we punish child pornography and looks for when that might change. When would that be different? It's not really per device. It's really when new transactions further the harm by getting new victims.
So new material on new device, but not old material on new device, meaning
same material
on new device.
Yes, Your Honor, because that possession is simply continuing.
So under your rubric, then, here's a hypothetical. What if instead of what happened in this case, the accused had originally downloaded the images and copied them onto 5 or 6 burner phones? Your position would be the same?
Yes, Your Honor, because, again, there is no new injury from copying something that's already possessed and being able to.
No, I think you just downloaded them, but instead of onto one device, onto 6 separate
devices. No. I'm asking kind of the same question I had before, which is you download them on one time and then copies them onto 5 or 6 burner phones. And I assume your position would be the same, but I'm going back to my original inquiry, which is, wouldn't the commander, and doesn't the commander have a right to be concerned about that? Enough to say that these should be separate possessions? Or no? I assume no, from your point of view.
Let me ask you quick, what's the difference between putting them on burner phones and putting them on drives? That they would be easier to distribute? Is that?
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting
at. Okay, so I wonder where you were going.
I don't want to assume that the accused was going to do that, but that's my question.
Yes, Your Honor. The president has chosen how he wants to charge or prescribe certain acts with relation to child pornography. There is an offense for copying with the intent to distribute, production with the intent to distribute. That's not what we have here, and so we're.
What about possession with intent to distribute?
Possession with intent to distribute is also an offense. Yes, Your Honor. And so, because of that, the president has spoken how he wants this to be handled, and possession is distinct. It's not. There's no indication that there was intent to distribute, and so
your position would lie simply in intent. In other words, the intent to maintain these images for oneself is different than, say, the scenario I just gave you, where there might be some indication that there's an intent to distribute. Is that a fair assessment of your view?
Yes, Your Honor. And that's just straight from Article 134 that says that there is an intent to distribute that's required for that kind of offense.
But in my scenario, without an intent, what if I just like burner phones?
You've already obtained those images, Your Honor, and so There's no new offense because there's no new injury.
Okay.
But even if this court disagreed with that, even if this court thought that the Quiros factor weighs against Corporal Forrester, those same policies still inform whether this exaggerates Corporal Forrester's criminality. The fact, for example, that he has no new injury by copying images he already possesses to a media device that he maintains control of means that there is that his criminality is exaggerated by having four separate offenses, four separate crimes that he's guilty of. Similarly, the fact that there's no new privacy invasion, there's no new incentive to produce this material because he's got it in a download. So those same policy reasons, even though they go to the Plank's analysis of a unit of prosecution, they also inform the discussion of Quiros factor 3 and 4. Three, that it exaggerates his criminality, and that's because there are no new victims according to those three injuries, or no new incentives to produce. Quiros 4, because for those same reasons, tripling his punitive exposure is just unreasonable. Again, there are no new injuries from having stuff, a contraband that he already owns or already has control of, and merely copying it. That's incidentally, it's just like exercising his possession of the material.
Now, go ahead.
What in your mind would interrupt the continuous course of conduct that you're sort of relying on for this to all be one transaction?
Judge Ryan, if Corporal Forrester thought better of this material, got rid of it, and decided later that he wanted the material again, went out, downloaded it, then he has material that he no longer possessed, and it's a new transaction. And so,
no matter how long of a time period passes between when he downloads it to one medium and transfers it to another, it's still all going to be one continuous course of conduct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Counsel, were these arguments made to the CCA?
Yes, sir, Stucky.
Okay. They've got the broad power over sentence. They didn't buy the arguments. Now you're here. What are we supposed to do? Just lavish equity on this thing?
Judge Stucky, I think the important role for this court is to establish the appropriate analysis of a unit of prosecution. That will have implications for multiplicity cases as well, but it informs the discussion for Quiros 2, and then that will also inform the discussion of Quiros 3 and 4. It's a rule of law that this court should help resolve for the service courts so that they can properly do their analysis under Article 66.
Most of the other lower circuit courts have relied on differences in the language of the statute. So, for example, the difference between any, possessing any versus one or more, and they make decisions, turn on those words. What are we to do when we don't have any language like that in our statute?
Under United States v. Bell, the Supreme Court has said that if it's not clear what the intended unit of prosecution is, then the rule of lenity applies and it inures to the benefit of appellant. And so the fact that we don't have a clear indication of the unit of prosecution, we have language in 2241 alpha that says any. We have another statute that's similarly named but doesn't have the alpha that says one or more. Those differences are ambiguous, and I don't necessarily agree with the Federal Circuit Court's distinctions there. But what is clear is that when the president says child pornography, and Chief Judge Irvin, I apologize. Or CM Over, may I finish?
You can conclude the thought to your own.
So the fact that the president said merely child pornography leaves this wide open, and therefore the rule of lenity applies.
Okay, you can continue on rebuttal. We'll now hear from the government.
Good afternoon, Chief Judge Erdman, members of the court. May it please the court, Lieutenant Commander Justin Henderson, along with Colonel Valerie Daniluk, representing the United States. This court should affirm the lower court's Quiros analysis for three reasons. First, appellant had his chance to raise the Plank multiplicity issue at trial, but declined. Second, the straightforward...
Oh, it's waived?
Yes, Your Honor, or forfeited, but the result...
Well, I'd like to know which.
Under this court's reasoning in Campos, when the defense counsel raised, not perfectly, the merger for sentencing issue, it functioned as a waiver of the multiplicity issue.
You engaged on that issue at the CCA, though, government?
No, Your Honor, and this goes to, I think, appellant's reply brief, calling out the United States on not raising this issue before, but that goes to the second point.
Let's go back to the first point for a minute, your waiver argument. First of all, you seem to be arguing that it was waiver of multiplicity, which isn't involved, but if you're arguing that it was waiver of unreasonable multiplication of charges, that is the first element in Quiros that we look at, and none of those elements are dispositive on their own. We balance them. So it seems to me that for this area of the law, a pure waiver or forfeiture argument is kind of out of place because the Quiros factors modifies it.
You're exactly right, Chief Judge. For unreasonable multiplication of charges, the United States is not pushing forward the binding waiver argument.
Okay. You're just saying that because he did not object at trial to UMC, that factor weighs against him.
Specifically because, yes, Your Honor. But
that's what the CCA said.
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. But my first point, and I didn't carry my burden of clarity, was that the Plank multiplicity issue was not raised at trial. And that multiplicity issue is waived under this court's reasoning in Campos. And the reason that's important, Judge Olson, to answer your question, and the reason that the United States is raising it here is appellant's argument about the straightforward unreasonable multiplication of charges issue is reviewed for an abuse of discretion under this court's jurisprudence. He's actually invoking now a de novo review standard, trying to capitalize on the multiplicity issue. But that's passed, and that's the reason the United States raises the waived Plank issue at trial. So that's the second point. And then third, even if this court were to adopt appellant's reading of the Plank-like multiplicity analysis and apply it squarely to the second Quiros factor, appellant still had separately chargeable conduct.
What to your mind would have made it not separately chargeable? Do you understand the question?
I do, Your Honor.
What would have made it a continuous course of conduct so that you would agree that it was a single transaction as opposed to four transactions?
And this is the RCM 307 question, and this assumes that we're looking at it de novo, but the traditional review standard is abuse of discretion. But if this court were to look at that de novo under the second Quiros factor, there's the panoply of factors: time, place, efforts taken to adopt the or to incorporate the images, the child pornography collection. Those are the exact things that the lower court looked at. Appellant took separate steps on separate dates to copy the initial 23 images to the other media devices, thus completing the actus reus necessary to accomplish the offense.
So let's take a photograph of child pornography, and the accused gets it somehow. And then every day for a month, he photocopies it. So in under your theory, that would support 30 counts of possession of child pornography. I don't see any difference from that in the argument you're making here.
There's a couple ways to answer that question. I want to be clear, because the first issue is it multiplicious? Is it charged as 30 specifications and the same evidence is used to prove up the same counts?
He did. He took a different action every day to make the new image, the new photograph.
The unit of prosecution would be, as Judge Ryan pointed out in her colloquy with my friend, the unit of prosecution would be the material. Now, if the pieces of paper, I assume when you say copy, Your Honor, you're talking about pieces of paper.
Yeah.
If the pieces of paper are in one binder, the United States is probably not going to be able to carry its unit of prosecution multiplicity burden to establish 30 different counts. But that's a multiplicity issue, and that was waived. We're past that. So on unreasonable multiplication of charges, we're looking at the reasonableness spectrum. What are the factors? Are these pieces of paper held in different locations? Were they copied, and I know you said 30 different days, but were they copied in
30 different Kinkos?
30 different Kinkos. Thank you, Your Honor. So
let me make sure I understand your point here. Are you saying that an accused who has downloaded 30 images of child porn and then distributes those to other media devices should be treated identically to someone who once a month for 30 months reaches out into the internet and takes a new copy of child porn?
Yes.
So those two people should be treated the same under the eyes of the law in terms of the UCMJ.
To answer your question, the eyes of the law of unreasonable multiplication of charges, yes. Because the factors for a lower court, or more traditionally a military judge, if it's appropriately raised before the military judge, the factors are the same. The steps taken to accomplish the act, the location, the time.
What if the CCA decided to treat it differently, and they used their discretion to say that they believed that it wasn't unreasonable multiplication of charges? What then?
Then this court traditionally gives deference to the CCA, and this is part of their 66C powers to approve a sentence that should be approved. If this court adopted appellant's reasoning and focused wholeheartedly on the injury caused, then that could be a traditional consideration that is reasonable, because the touchstone is reasonableness. And that's the reason I answer your question, Judge Olson, the way I do is, is it reasonable to treat those two accused the same? It is. It would be unreasonable to apply a Strickland standard or some other unbinding law on the concept.
What if one person had 3,000 images on a device and another person had 30 images on a device? Same result? I mean, would they be liable, both liable for the same amount of child pornography?
If it's one device, yes, Your Honor. But to get to the import of your question, what this court is reviewing is the lower courts of the military judges' application of the Quiroz standards. And it's not just the second Quiroz factor. An accused in that situation is protected by the other factors. So to the extent that the courts reviewing those two situations diverge, they should
be a multiplicity situation, because they both just have one count, but I'm just testing your view of the unit.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Counsel, we all recognize the social ill of possession of child pornography. How is that magnified when an individual takes one image that was obtained through one distribution and then forwards it to another one of his electronic devices?
Your Honor, I'm sorry, I missed that first.
We all recognize the social evil,
okay,
of child pornography. How is that magnified?
How is the social evil magnified? It might not be. But if the society is the command or the armed service, it could be more service discrediting. It is more service discrediting to repeatedly forward your child pornography to your other media devices than it is to possess it in a single place.
How should we address the issue raised by appellant's counsel about the rule of lenity in a situation such as this?
The rule of lenity would apply and would be a strong argument if this were a multiplicity issue. But the unit of prosecution discussion is a multiplicity discussion. The unit of prosecution issue is the Plank issue, and that's the problem that appellant faces here. He's asking this court to do something it has never done: collapse Quiroz factor number 2 into a unit of prosecution multiplicity analysis. Well, not since Campbell. And whatever confusion issue existed in our jurisprudence about multiplicity and unreasonable multiplication of charges, that confusion is gone. Since Gladue, and especially since Campbell, those are discrete concepts that are treated discreetly. And when a multiplicity issue merits litigation, it has to be raised. Otherwise, under unreasonable multiplication of charges, the second Quiroz factor is broader.
Well, separate the unit of prosecution multiplicity issue from this discussion, and let's just now look at the second Quiroz factor. What's to stop this court from adopting, without ever looking at multiplicity, a unit of prosecution analysis for that factor?
This court's traditional jurisprudence, Your Honor, which defers to the lower court's exercise of its unreasonable multiplication of charges analysis. And here, what's to stop this court from conducting a de novo review of Quiroz Factor 2? Well, there was no abuse of discretion lower that needs correction. The only thing that the lower court did was examine whether the accused took, or the appellant now, took separate steps and separate dates to store his child pornography in separate locations. Having done that, there's nothing unreasonable about finding that the four, not 23, but the four specifications for possessing his 23 child pornography images were not unreasonably multiplied.
Counsel, one question about what happened at the trial. When the military judge temporarily, I guess for the moment, severed several of the offenses, two of them into four, I guess it was, or two of them into eight.
Well, four of them into eight,
four of them into
but
eight.
Then with regard to the convictions, Your Honor, you're correct, two
right.
into four.
Right. Well, when he did that initially, he ended up with 11 specifications that he was looking at from a finding standpoint. So is your position that conceivably the accused could have been facing 11 separate specifications?
No, and I think the military judge immediately recognized that, and that's why right after finding,
he merged them back, yeah.
With regard to the black hard drive and right. the laptop, he condensed those specifications immediately.
Okay.
And I think that's why that issue is not before this court. With regard to what appellant's request demands, it really is a request to upset all of Quiroz precedent, which is what his argument requires, which is make factor number two just multiplicity. This court has never done that. And that in the long run, couldn't be what appellants really want or appellants similarly situated really want, and this court's opinion in Campbell identifies that situation. And I'm talking about the 2012 Campbell opinion, 71 MJ 19. That appellant would never have succeeded on a multiplicity challenge, but his charges were unreasonably multiplied when he stole, falsely stated, and then possessed the drugs through the same transaction. Having failed on his multiplicity challenge, that Campbell appellant, if the condensed Quiroz factor two were just multiplicity, would never succeed. But
when you keep referring to the second element as multiplicity, multiplicity is where we have two offenses and one is an LIO of another to protect an individual from double jeopardy. How does that, I'm still puzzled, how does that analysis even factor into this? Or are you just talking about the Plank interpretation of multiplicity, which can be separated from it or can be part and parcel of the Fifth Circuit analysis?
That's a good question, Your Honor, and I am just talking about the Plank multiplicity analysis. Deriving from Bell and CIT and Ladner.
Okay.
But the request is the same. The request that appellant is making is treat the Quiroz second factor, distinctly separate criminal acts, as a proxy for multiplicity. And this court shouldn't do that because the second Quiroz factor is broader than multiplicity. In the absence of further questions, that concludes the United States argument.
Thank you. We'll now hear from the appellant with rebuttal.
So I don't interrupt you. Can I ask a question to begin with? In terms of your lenity argument, why don't we find the president's explanation of child pornography as material, meaning the physical media that contains the child pornography, why don't we view that as each physical media is a different material?
Because, Ryan,
that seems like sort of a simple way to read the explanation.
Both the two analogous federal civilian statutes talk about any or one or more. Neither one really gets, you know, both of those are held to be vague by various federal circuits. And so saying distinguishing any from something like just child pornography, possession of.
But this is child pornography means material that contains. So the computer is material that contains, and then a phone is material that contains, and then a hard drive is material that contains. Why would that require a rule of lenity to be unambiguous?
The other statutes do the same thing, Judge Ryan. They say any book, you know, magazine, et cetera, containing this information. So it's the exact same structure, but just condenses that into possess child pornography instead of possessing those materials spelled out. To respond to what Appellee said, in its decision, the lower court, in this case, referred to its earlier decision in Campbell and said, there we relied on the holding in United States v. Plank, cited the holding, and said that they're adopting that same analysis for this case. It is the lower court that brought Plank as the relevant rule of law to Kuros 2, 3, and 4. And this court has the jurisdiction to review their application of law de novo. There are other factual issues that could go into a Kuros analysis. We're not contesting those factual issues because the court botched its legal analysis, and that's why Corporal Forrester should prevail. As for the waiver argument, the trial defense counsel also specifically raised the fact that the crimes here were all the same facts and preserved the issue of how Plank applies to the unit of prosecution. And for that reason, Corporal Forrester should have his findings condensed into one and sentencing reordered, or resentencing ordered. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The court thanks counsel for both parties, and the case is now submitted. Before we adjourn, I'd just like to point out for the record that today is our clerk of court, Bill DeSico's, last hearing. He will be retiring at the end of this month, and the court would like to take this opportunity to thank him for his long years of service. He's been the guiding light and public face of this court for many, many years, and we should commemorate that, this being his last argument. The court will hold a more formal commemorative session on May 24th to provide him with a more formal farewell. And with that, the court is in recess until further order of the court.
All rise. Court is adjourned until further order of the court.